This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com.
Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and the Money Podcast, episode 135. That's a lot, Amanda.
It is a lot.
Time talking about saving. It's just like, oh my God. Time talking about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach. Along with Amanda, she is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're grateful you've joined us. Check out Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. I was going to run out of music there because we kind of were celebrating 135 for no reason. Hi, girl. What's up, girl? How are you doing?
Good. No, not much going on here.
You like my pictures of the cicadas?
That's crazy. It's actually pretty gross.
The TV stations here have mapped where they're actually at. They're not really around me, but like right to the north of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. The trees are piled of shells. I mean, they're talking about billions of these things coming up out of the ground.
Yeah, you can like shovel them.
These are 10-year cicadas, I guess. Brood X. I don't know what it is. Then we always get these things, but yeah, you could shovel them. They crawl up the trees. They cling onto there, then they come out as a locust with wings and stuff, and then they got these big beanie red eyes. And
Yeah.
Kids I love mean, them.
They're a year late, really. If they wanted to plague us, last year was the year for that.
Yeah, never had that one on my list. Hey, we got some really great questions on this podcast, guys.
Yeah, we do.
I don't mean to pump it up, but these are really good.
How about this first one? So I'm looking at my IRA and considering switching to different funds. I'm only making a 4%+ return so far this year. Annualized has return on average 11%, but my funds don't seem to be performing well. Should I switch or just keep funding and assume things will pan out and I'll finish 8%+ higher or in that area? Anyone with an IRA showing same kind of trends this year? Okay, so
I love this question, by the way. This is hilarious. A great
4%, 4%, and we're not even halfway through the year. So remember, half of 8 is 4.
Yes.
So you're right on track. You're right on track.
And I love this question. Because once again, as we said in the podcast the other day, people are looking at their accounts. The problem is they're looking at their accounts, right?
Right.
So you said in your question, annualized returns average 11% over time.
Over time.
Absolutely
that
correct.
That doesn't mean every single year either.
So go back in time, Amanda. So last year, you and I both hit how much?
It was almost
30, 40, 50%. So, I don't know. I mean, we did great. Everyone did great. The S&P 500 did great.
Yeah.
So, average
like
returns
for the S&P 500,
which means, Amanda, we could have two more years of 0% returns. And what do you end up with? An average return over 3 years of 10 to 11%.
Right.
The average return over time is 8 to 12% is what our goal is all the time. So there are years where you get 40%. Some years you get negative. There have been years before, Amanda, where you get negatives. But over time, people. But switching around constantly, you're really taking a risk. I know it seems logical, like, oh my God, this fund's not good. No good. I need to jump. The problem is your value, you didn't lose money. You only lose when you cash out.
Right.
When you move it around and you should be dumping money into your funds when they're down because it will actually propel you faster. That's how I did it after the big crash in 2008. I sucked it up after 2 weeks of being nauseated with no sleep. And then
I remember.
And so I literally contacted HR and I doubled my deposits out of my paycheck. I look back at that time and over that whole recovery, if you look at the graph over the next, how many years? 8, 9 years of that constant growth because I bought so cheap. I got beat down just like everybody else, but I increased my deposits. And oh my God, I leapfrogged. So you want your funds to, I mean, no, we don't want our funds to go down. If your funds are down, you're already in good funds. You already studied. you're in good funds at work over time again. You want to increase your deposits if possible, because that's your chance. Because
and
you know
you
that's
are right on track is what I want to emphasize. Like 4+% means you're more than on track for the year.
And they said their average return is 11%. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what that means? And the rule 72s? They're doubling their money every 7 years. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Over time, you're doubling your money over time every 6 years, 6-7 years. The rule of 72s, guys, is you take your average return, divide it into 72. It tells you on average how many years it takes to double your current balance if you did nothing else. You are doing great. You are in the correct funds. I could not even recommend them to change. Whatever they have, that's fine with me. So you're fine. Relax. Stop looking at your funds. Stop watching CNBC. Question number two, Amanda.
Question two. I have a 401k at work and now can open a Roth. Should I? And if I do, how much should I put in each of them? The company will match up to 6%.
There you go.
Here's some confusion again. Again, it's likely not two different accounts with your company. It just means they're giving you the option to designate which part of your contribution will be pre-tax versus post-tax.
Yeah. So your Roth is what you want to have. We do 100% Roth. Your company match, when they match you that 6%, that will actually be traditional pre-tax money. Mm-hmm. So that money, so people that want to have both kinds, if you have a company match, that is your other contribution. That will be your traditional money. Okay. So your Roth might, when you deposit, you want to do 100% Roth. So your
if you can.
Mm-hmm. Right. So here's the thing about.
Unless it's going to put your income limit above making you eligible to do a Roth IRA.
There you go. So here's the thing about your 401k at work. I don't know where you work at. Typically, this is in general. Smaller companies don't have good 401ks. Larger companies have great 401ks. Smaller companies have higher fees if you work for a smaller employer. So I don't know how high your fees are with your 401k. So in general, if you work for, if you don't have a great 401k, you give up to the match first, get that company match. Then you go over and open up a Roth IRA if you're qualified. Open up the IRA, max that out to $6,000. Then you come back and finish your 401k and max that out for the year over a 12-month period. That's the order of investing. If you're in a good 401k, which I've been fortunate to be in a good 401k, I max that out first, then do the Roth IRA. Well, no, I don't qualify for Roth IRA. So then you have to do a whole backdoor thing, which is a whole different thing. So I don't want to get people confused in that. But you do your if you have a good 401k, you max out your 401k, then you open up the IRA. The goal is every year, Amanda, is to max out both an IRA and your 401k. Then you go do other investings, like if you want to do your Bitcoins or whatever you want to do. That's right. When you do all that. And I'm not going to tell people not to do that stuff. I know people want to. You do that after you do your basics. You got to do all your retirement accounts first. There you go. Anything you want to add on that?
No, I think that's perfect. All right. Question three. Are you changing your investment strategy with inflation now in play or for at least the next 6 to 12 months?
I think you're going to impose a rule on me where I'm not allowed to include these inflation questions.
I might.
She does not allow me to do stock questions in our podcast. So, but Amanda,
specific single stocks, yes.
The problem, Amanda, is this: people are like freaking out. They're watching the news too much.
Yeah.
And we've answered this question before. Number one, inflation's already here. I don't know if you've noticed.
I want people to start giving me real life examples of what exactly they're worried is inflating.
Yeah, and what are they worried of? Like your investments don't change. So here's another. Let me change this question up a little bit.
Well, let me just answer the question with one word.
Go ahead.
No.
Okay, perfect.
I am not changing.
So there's another. Oh, actually, it's come up after the break. I'm not going to go into that. After the break, there's another question about this in a different way, and that's what I want to bring in. But no, we don't change our strategy whatsoever. We answered this in the last podcast. If you change your strategy, you're going to screw up everything. Stick with the plan. The S&P 500, all these big companies have been through wars. We've talked about this before. Wars, pandemics, everything.
stick with the plan. You're watching the news too much. Hashtag turn it off. The news, that's our joke on Facebook Gaming when I talk to the chat room about this. Guys, stop looking at the news. Stop. The news, what did you say, Amanda, last time? What was the goal of news on TV? It's ratings. Entertainment. Ratings. They are there to hype you up because they need you to come back. They need you for the advertisers. That's how they make money. They're trying to hype you up. If you turn it off and don't know what's going on, you'll realize there's nothing going on.
There's nothing really going on.
If you don't know, there's nothing to worry about. And there isn't anything to worry about, Amanda. Yes, your milk may go up a little higher. Your gasoline may go up. It's not going to be up to $10 a gallon, people. No.
No, not unless another pipeline is hacked.
You know what? Our prices never went above $3 up here.
Wow.
No. The highest I saw was $2.89. Yes, it depended where you lived. But around here, no. And we need that pipeline. That pipeline goes right through here. And no, $2.89. I saw some people say $2.99. Yeah. So I didn't even know the pipeline thing even happened, Amanda, until people kept talking. I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't purchased gas since last October. Well, part of it is,
you rarely need to buy gas.
So. I haven't purchased gas since October. So what did I know? Hey, let's take a quick break. And we have a different version of that question, which really scares me. I think it's more realistic. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Amanda, welcome back to Rock on the Monday. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/Rock on the Money is the page. Please click the follow, click the bell to be notified when we go live, Amanda.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're taking a little break here and it might be time.
Well, I'm probably already on my break by the time people hear this recording.
That's right. Yes, good point. Yeah, we're going to be doing live. And so I'm going to do a one topic every time. And then you can ask questions as well with a live studio audience. It won't be a lot of people, but I think I have the visuals ready to go.
Oh.
Well, the big thing is I had to my internet was having a lot of problems. That's corrected. Thanks, Comcast Business. Did you know Comcast Business and Xfinity are not the same company?
I did not.
I learned so much about internet in homes over the last couple of weeks that the Xfinity people, even though it's technically under Comcast, you guys, if you have that like I did, you are nobody. The people that have Comcast Business can suck your internet when they need it. They get prioritization. So now I take away from Tommy next door, who needs to be on his third grade Zoom class. Well, tell you what, Tommy, I need internet more than you do. Get back to school. They're all sucking my internet. Now I got solid internet. I'm paying for it. We won't even discuss that. Question number 4, Amanda. Do you want to read this one?
Sure, I do. You gave us a teaser on it.
Oh, yeah.
My Roth 401k is currently set to 90% stocks and 10% bonds. With the lower rate of growth and inflation eating at the growth of the bonds, should I even bother with that 10% or make it 100% stocks and 0% bonds?
Yes.
Ooh, I like this question.
Yes. The short answer is yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
But let's get into what's really going on here.
Finally, a knowledgeable question about inflation.
It was actually a very good question. It was a detail that you want, Amanda. Mm-hmm. Okay, number one, before we get to the growth inflation part, I don't know why they even had 10% bonds in there.
Right. I don't know why you had that to begin with.
It should have been 100% stocks in the first place. That's a whole different discussion. But our recommendation is we stay 100% in growth equity stocks. U.S., American, U.S., top growth, S&P 500 companies, stick with the big boys, da-da-da. Beyond that, now let's get into the inflation, lower rate of growth and inflation eating at the growth of bonds. We talked about this on an episode like a year ago, even before the pandemic. Bonds have not done anything for years, which is what the stable value funds are in a lot of these 401ks. Or these very, what we call these funds, which were very minimalistic or
safe. People think they're safe.
Yeah, safe. That's a good question. Yeah, people will call them safe funds because they don't want to lose money. Well, a lot of them have bonds in them. Well, the all problem is you can't even keep up with inflation with that. Even before the inflation we have, you typically have what, 1 to 2% of inflation every year. That's what we've had for years.
Yeah, 2 to 3% is normal.
And right now we're running about 3-4% right now. Okay. It's not as high as people think. People are freaking out. It's only in certain pockets that are raising the cost of goods for everything. Like lumber, housing, gasoline. But gasoline is because of other factors like pipelines or there's some cost things going on in the Middle East. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, we don't want to get technical in, but those are causing a lot of other things to go up. Bonds, they have not done well. And I've heard many smart people from business schools say they don't see bonds doing anything in the future. This is before the pandemic even started. So we've told people, stick with the stocks, the S&P 500 index. Now, getting into their question, they're worried about bonds. Yeah, they just don't, they do not perform. They have not for the last 3 or 4 years. And they are probably not going to do anything. The biggest brains in the business from the biggest business schools are saying they don't see it do anything even in the future.
Right. Yeah. So, there's no credible source indicating that there's going to be any type of like hyperinflation.
No, take politics out of your investing, people. I know it's tough. I know you want to watch these different news and they're getting you all hyped up. If you take politics out of all this, that's not what's actually happening. I hate to sit here and be neutral, but I've made those mistakes in the past, Amanda. I admit to them. I've listened to these things and that making huge mistakes. And once I took politics and everything else out of my investing and looked at the actual facts, not claimed facts, but like real facts by neutral parties, I've done so much better. So much better. It's so much easier to invest when you take all that crap out of there and you realize, oh my God, this is not that difficult.
Right.
Question number five.
Number five, when you have a Roth IRA, do you continue buying more shares of the same mutual funds or do you research others to buy?
Good question.
Good question.
I love that question. I should have put all these on the front end.
I buried the lead.
What do you say?
So in my Roth IRA, it's kind of a mix. Sometimes if I feel really strongly that I've got a winner, I might wait until the price is down on that and buy some more. And other times I'm like, yeah, you know what? I feel like finding something new. So it's more of a how am I feeling type of move. But I do the research each time.
I mentioned on the last podcast that I finally purchased a different kind of technology index fund. I like technology index funds. SLK has been a favorite. It's a favorite for a lot of people because it's low cost. For the first time, I did my IRA with the VGT. I meant to look it up and tell everybody what it was. VGT, which is the Vanguard Information Technology ETF. It's an ETF, also a mutual fund. I look for funds that will outperform the S&P 500. That is our standard coaching. The basic is your S&P 500 index fund and anything that can beat it on a short, medium, and long term. And the technology index funds typically do that, Amanda.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know they're all down right now, which is the reason why I bought into another one. I mean, I could have put it into XLK, which I already have. I said, oh, let's try another one. And the cost, because it's a Vanguard fund, is super low. It's like 0.12 or something like that. It's not. It's very low cost, and it's Vanguard. So, and at the end of the day, Amanda, it's the same companies. Apple, Amazon,
right? Microsoft. It's just a slightly different balance of those.
Yeah, and they do include some different ones. And actually, sometimes it outperforms XLK, but they're all about the same. But so it kind of goes into their question. Just do some research, but it should beat the S&P 500. If you're not doing that, you should just do the S&P 500 index, because it's literally a no-cost fund.
Literally, no cost.
No cost. No fees. Why are you paying 0.6% to a fund that came and beat a simple index fund of the best of America, the 500 biggest, best companies of America, and they re-index that all the time? You can't go against that. That is your baseline. And 70% of the funds cannot even do it. The fund managers try their best, and they can't do it. So, question number six, Amanda.
Number six, last question. So many people are putting pressure on me to buy a home right now, and that if I don't, prices are just going to go higher and higher, and I'll regret it if I wait a year to do so. I only have $30,000 to put down, and some are saying to at least use it to buy a condo so that way I can pay something off while I save for a home instead of just paying rent. I am super torn. Advice.
That's for you, Amanda.
Yeah, so I don't think anyone has a crystal ball. People are panicking because of what they're seeing right now, and what people panic because of what they see now and what they've seen over the past year. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to happen in the next year. This past year was unprecedented in terms of all of the conditions of the market.
Right.
I don't think we're heading into another pandemic. I could be wrong. So I think that you just need to do what feels right for you. The fact that you're torn tells me you're not completely ready for the buy, because if you're ready for the buy, you feel ready for the buy.
Here's two things. Amanda, if I go down to the dealership right now, and I'm looking at an F-150 pickup truck, and I post a picture on Facebook right now and say, guys, I'm looking at this truck. I don't know if I should buy or not. What do you think I should do? What do you think 90% of people are going to tell me to do?
Buy it, because it's not their money. They're going
to say, oh, yeah, because it's not their money. They're like, yeah, buy it. Oh, man, you're going to love it. Yeah, buy that $90,000 pickup truck.
Right.
Yeah, it's not their money. Don't let them make you make that decision.
Yeah, exactly.
And number two, my other question, my other comment, I've been watching a lot of these live streamers that are on like all day, but they're financial guys, like these stock guys. I just enjoy listening to them as I'm working. You know how many of these people that make good money don't own the house? They rent.
Yeah, and actually in a lot of markets right now, because of the insanity happening with real estate right now, it's actually a wiser financial move to rent than to buy.
And the other thing,
depending on where you live.
Don't get forced into thinking you have to own a house. Guys, there's nothing wrong with renting if you get a good rental price on a decent neighborhood. There's a lot of cost involved in owning a house.
Yeah, and people always make the argument, yeah, but I'd rather be paying myself than paying someone else, because, you know, that's just sunk cost. Well, guess what? Even if you have your own home, and I'm using have loosely, because most right. people who have a home here in the U.S. at least have a large mortgage on it, right?
Right.
And a big part of your payment every month is interest, which is going to someone else and not pay towards your own equity. So there's actually very little that goes towards your own equity. And frankly, you could be investing that amount into, you know, the stock market or other investments each month, rather than putting it into a home that is going to drag along with it other huge expenses that, you know, eat away at and erode that so-called equity.
Oh, you mean like I revealed last episode, I just bought a refrigerator that had to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Second refrigerator in 17 years. If I rented, I wouldn't be paying for that.
Right.
$2,600.
All of my appliances
right.
in the last 2 years.
This was a brand new house. Well, brand new houses don't have 30-year roofs on them. I've had to replace the roof. Now I have a 30-year roof. By the end of 30 years, guess what? You got to replace the roof again. That's $15,000. That's got to come from somewhere. I just replaced an HVAC. That apparently only lasts 10 years, but somehow I got 17 years out of it. I went way longer than I had to. That was $12,000. Owning a house is not as cracked as you think.
And let's talk about this, a suggestion to get a condo for 1 second. Most condos come along with HOA fees as well. And that's going to someone that's not you. And that's just like a garbage cost as well.
That's the only reason I haven't bought a place at like Myrtle Beach. Mm-hmm. Is, you know what the monthly cost of owning a condo at the beach is?
I would guess between $700 and $800 a month for HOA.
Oh, yeah. $700,000. I'm like, and then I found out from friends in the fire department who have done this, they can assess you at any time. These guys have been hit with a $10,000 bill. You have to pay it.
Yep.
Because they have to replace the roof. So everybody in the building, $10,000 assessment this year. On top of, so all of a sudden you got to come up with $10,000.
On top of the $800 a month, you're already paying for that, plus the $500 or $600 a month you're putting in interest. So that's like $1,300 right there. And if you were renting it, that would have been the cost of rent. So people need to really run the numbers and not say, fall for this myth that if you own, you automatically are building equity and paying yourself versus other people, because there are plenty of other people you're still paying.
If you follow our plans for the baby steps, Amanda, the ultimate goal is to own your house. No payments. Mm-hmm. That's baby step six. When you get to that point, it's no big deal. Oh, I got to replace my roof this year. Oh, okay. Which is cheaper than all the payments I would have done on the house. Then it's not a big deal. The goal is to not have any debt whatsoever. Debt-free, fully debt-free, including the mortgage. That's what the baby steps gets you to. And that's your goal, to live like what? No one else?
Mm-hmm.
And not many people make that port. But if you can, that's what you're trying to get to. So you're not renting, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to have any payments. You want a credit score literally of zero. Zero. Which means you're not using any credit whatsoever. Everything's cash. Life is awesome.
Yeah, but that was a great question. I think it's really important that you listen to yourself and not other people, because they're not the ones who are going to be making the monthly payment.
They're torn because they're not happy about buying a house either, because people are telling them to spend money. Like I said, if I went down there to the Ford dealership, which I would probably not do, but if I did, I'll post a picture because I see people do that. Everyone on Facebook will tell me 99%, yeah, buy it. Yeah, because it's not their money.
Yeah, they don't have to make the payment.
Yeah, it's not you. And they don't know your financial situation. You're fine just renting, especially right now. Great questions, Amanda. I buried the leads of three questions.
Yeah, you did.
I was thinking about taking these questions and posting them as separate questions and then post them on Facebook. So they're little daily nuggets.
Do it.
Yep. Along with all my other projects I'm supposed to be doing.
I was
going to
say, you keep making these promises to us and then we get nothing.
We need an intern. All right. Thank you very much, Amanda. That was a great show. Thank you for all your advice.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.